And the word of the Lord says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Let us pray. Oh Lord, how mighty and majestic is your name in all the earth. Father, we see your works daily, in the works in the moon and the star and the sun. Father, in all that you give for our sight, Father. Father, I pray for a divine understanding today, Father, in your word. Father, beyond our own understanding and what we read, Father, beyond our own knowledge. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would prepare the hearts for the congregation, Father, to hear your word. Father, the words that our pastor has prepared for us today that you have used mightily, I pray that you would hide him behind the cross, but give him boldness to speak truth to us. Father, that we can go out and live life and share all that we know and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the community that we have to share him with, that we want to know that there is a hope, Father. Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. You are blessed to be a blessing. How many of you have heard that before? You are blessed to be a blessing. A lot of times that comes from financial blessings, right? You'll hear that. Hey, if you've received, if you are wealthy, then you are to share that abundance with those around you. The material part of it is important. Scripture speaks to this truth. 2 Corinthians 9:11, the Apostle Paul tells the church at Corinth, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So our material blessings shouldn't stop with us. You know, if you make $48,000 and some change, you're richer than 99% of the world. $48,000. And so it shouldn't stop with us. But this goes beyond the material. You are blessed to be a blessing, goes beyond the material. We see that throughout Scripture. When God calls somebody, when he steps into their lives, it is so that he can bless others through them, not just for them. We see it in the covenant that he makes with Abraham in Genesis 12:2. He says, I will make of you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. Now this had some material reality. Abraham was rich in his time. But greater than that is the truth that Abraham's descendants, the Jews, would be a testimony to the world of God's love and grace and mercy and power. We see it throughout their history. Through God's blessings on his people and their deliverance from slavery to Egypt, he calls them out and he puts a man at their head, Moses, and he blesses Moses with leadership and guidance and power that the others had no idea where it came from other than him pointing to God. And he used this man to bless this people. He gave him commands of what it meant to be God's chosen people. And in Deuteronomy 4:5, we see Moses tell them why they were given this. It says, see, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the peoples who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? They were blessed so that others could come to a knowledge of the one true God through their blessing. And yet, even with this promise and with this blessing, the Jews turn in idolatry to other gods, false gods, and other nations to deliver them from their enemies. And God delivers on what he had told him. He says, I will bless you if you're obedient, but I will curse you if you turn away from me. And so they bring cursings on themselves. God gives them up in their sin. And those that were meant to bless all the families of the earth are cursed and oppressed. Yet even in the midst of their exile and suffering, God promises that they will one day fulfill what he has said in blessing the world. He uses the prophet Isaiah to tell them this truth. Isaiah 42:6, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the peoples, a light for the nations. And he says, this is going to happen through my servant. Isaiah 49:6, he says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. He says, that's not enough. He says, you'll be my servant and I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. Matthew's been telling us through his gospel so far that Jesus Christ is that servant. He is the Messiah that came to extend that salvation to the ends of the earth. He expands the blessings of Israel through his sacrificial death on the cross. And that blessing is now extended some 2,000 years. And you have received it if you are a follower of Jesus. You have received that blessing as you are here today. God has blessed you so that you will be a blessing to others. So your blessings are never meant for you alone. But that is especially true of the blessing of salvation. You're here today, you're blessed with a heart and eyes open to the truth of the gospel, of your great sinfulness and God's overwhelming love through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you're blessed through faith in Jesus to be a child of God. And that blessing is supposed to be passed on no matter the cost. There are billions of people in the world that need to know that when they call on the name of Jesus, they become a beloved child of God no matter what they've done. You need to hear it right here today because some of y'all have been living in total opposition to him. And so you need to hear that if you've come to faith in him, no matter what you've done, how far you've fallen, you are still his beloved child. That's not just to stop with you. You're supposed to tell others. Jesus has been talking about this. Matthew has written it down for us. Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This has always been the purpose of God's people, to be blessed to see the light and then to be blessed as we shine the light and bless others. In Matthew 10, Jesus is preparing the men that will take this message after he has ascended into heaven, after he's paid the price at the cross and rose from the dead, and then ascended into heaven. These men will be the ones that go forth with this message. They will be a light to the nations. We've seen their commissioning over the last several weeks. We've seen his commands to them and to us today. And it looks rough, right? Like, these have not been fun sermons to prepare. It's like, oh, I get to tell them about how awful it's going to be. Beating and betrayal and blood and sweat and tears, they all lay along the path that takes the gospel to the nations. There's a quote that went around in the ancient world that the blood of the martyr is the seed of the gospel. For where that blood was spilled, disciples popped up. Loving Jesus supremely, though, means that we're willing to shine his light and share his gospel with any and all that we are prompted to share it with by the Holy Spirit, even if they hate us for it. Even our own families, if they hate us for it. That is what we are to do, even if it divides us. We're to share it. Most folks read that, hear that, and they say, well, forget that. just going to gather all my blessings up in my hoard of blessings, and I'll be a gospel hoarder for the rest of my life. But you're not getting it because it's going to cost too much. I'll hide all these from the world, and I know I got them, but I don't have to go share them with anybody else. Or we'll say, you know what? I got this light, and I'm not going to dim it all the way. I'm not going to put it all the way under the basket, but I'm going to guard it on this side so these people don't see it. I'm going to let it shine on those that are easy, that make me comfortable to go shine it on. But those that are hard, man, I'm going to keep this thing guarded so they ain't attracted to it at all. I don't have to deal with them. Instead of running towards those that are caught in the darkness, we run away from them. Because it's just easier. Because those people don't talk like us. They don't vote like us. They don't live like us. Maybe it's just easier to turn the other cheek there rather than do what Jesus called us to do. It's definitely more comfortable. And if Jesus' commission and instruction to his disciples ended at verse 38, we could do that, right? In 39, he said, if you lose your life, you're going to find it. He said, if you'll do this, if you'll give up that comfort, if you'll step outside of what you think you want to do, if you'll take that filter, that shade off of that light and let it shine brightly, you'll find a life that you never imagined. And he says, if you do that, if you let that light shine, people are going to accept it. They're going to see it, and they're going to love it. There will be a reward for them. That's what he tells us in verses 40 and 42. He says, yes, it's going to be hard. There's going to be people that hate you. They're going to beat you. They're going to drag you before governments. They're going to do all these kind of things to you. It's going to be tough, but then you're going to go to some places, and they're going to love you. You're going to share this gospel message, and they're not going to hate you for it. They're going to receive it. You see that there? It says verse 40, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. The reality is, you burn brightly for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and some people are going to hate you for it because they hate God. We live in a world that hates God. It hates anything that makes them think that what they do in their sin is wrong. They are their own gods. And many of us know that because we used to be. We did what we want when we wanted to do it without questioning anything. We were a God unto ourselves. And so people that are gods unto themselves hate the word. But some will receive you. It is a certainty, he says here. Whoever receives you. It's not a question of if they will. It's when they do. Whoever receives you receives me, he says. What's that mean? It means they will faithfully believe the message that you bring. They will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and respond in faith. Because Jesus says when they receive you, when they receive us as believers, literally there, welcome us kindly, they will welcome kindly Jesus, and they will welcome kindly his Father who is in heaven. They will hear the gospel, they will hear it from us, and they will respond. And kindly welcoming the Trinity only happens in those that have come to saving faith. Do you see what that means for you, though? By faithfully obeying King Jesus, you get to be a part of someone's eternal reward. You're a part of that. You're blessed with the gospel, and they're blessed with eternal life. And it's not hard. It's really easy to do this. Like, you leave here today, and you go to the wagon wheel. And you're in that line, and instead of fussing about that line being so long, when you get a waitress, you sit down and you say, you know what, I just heard this message that I'm blessed to be a blessing, and I'm going to bless this girl with the gospel. I'm going to share the gospel with her. And you start telling her what it means, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who's born of a virgin, that lived a sinless life, that went to the cross and died for your sins. That you tell her that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and what that means. And then you tell her that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that if she will confess Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, she'll be saved. And she gets down on her knees and she prays that right there in that minute. She's blessed by you. It's all it takes. She hears it and the Spirit moves her heart and she responds and comes to saving faith. Anybody know what that feels like to share that message with somebody and have them come to faith? You know what that feels like? There's nothing like it. You ever been a part of somebody receiving eternal life? You know that. And how awesome is it that God would choose to use you that way? Because let's be honest, you're not that great. I'm not. I can't believe on a daily basis that God uses me the way he does in the lives of others. That he would ever look at me in all of my herdmanness. Because that's what I was when I was a little kid, crawling under these pews, throwing desks at teachers, being absolutely awful to everybody. And yet in a moment in time, he used somebody to speak truth into my life. I was blessed, and now I get to be a blessing. He can do the same thing with you. He wants to do it. You are a part of God's plan to save his people from their sins. And you might do some really cool things in your life. You might climb mountains, kill a bear with a knife, build race cars, help send somebody to outer space, but you will never do anything that compares to being a part of someone receiving eternal life. I don't think we celebrate that enough. I don't think we rejoice in it enough that we are a part of what God does here. And let's get this straight. We don't save anybody. This is Jesus' message. This is his authority and this is his salvation. But he lets us be a part. We are the Amazon drivers of the gospel. We bring it right to their door. And none of it's ours, but we're there to just share it with whoever needs it. And everybody that's saved, anybody that might be saved here today, you are a part of this. Of God's plan to save his people from their sins. You're included in these verses. Now, he names two in verse 41, right? A prophet and a righteous person. And who is that? A prophet is one that speaks for God. They carry a message that God has for his people, a message that's meant to bless his people in one way or another, warning them to repent and be spared, or telling them to look forward to a hope that is coming through the suffering they're currently going through. They proclaim God's word. Today, men that are prophetic in what they proclaim the word of God to those that need to hear as it exists right here in 66 books. They stand and as I do today or in people's houses or on street corners and they say, this is the word of God. And those that kindly welcome those prophets because he is proclaiming God's word, they will be rewarded. First with salvation as they receive them kindly, and then with other blessings that God leaves unnamed here. The prophets are known for what they speak, but the other mentioned here, the righteous, they are known for who they are, what they do, the way they live. When you go and live in obedience to the commands of Jesus, considering others more significant than yourself, living peaceably, self-controlled, contributing to the needs of others, not repaying evil for evil, praying for your enemies, people will see the righteousness of Jesus in you, the righteousness that comes from a heart that's been made new, and in that they will believe. They'll say there's something different about that person. Your light will shine through your good works, and they will give glory to your Father in heaven. See, here's the thing. A prophet and a righteous, they do the same thing, one with the word of God and one with their life. They point people to Jesus. It's what it's all about. They point them to the truth of the gospel. Now, there's some overlap. A prophet should be righteous, otherwise the message falls flat. And a righteous person should use the words of God as he goes about his life so that others can understand where it comes from. But the whole point is that they are pointing people to Jesus. But you might be here and thinking, well, I'm neither one of those. I'm not a prophet and not really all that righteous. I'm learning to be. So how am I blessed to be a blessing? I'm just not on that level. And that's what we do, right? We create this hierarchy. Like, Patrick, of course he can use you. You're the pastor. I'm just a dude that got called into ministry. A sinner saved by grace that got called into something different. Let's say, of course he uses that deacon. He's old and he's wise. I mean, he's wise and righteous. But what can I do, Patrick? What should I do? Verse 42 tells us we're all involved in this. It says that being a blessing to others, being a part of his plan to save the world, is not just for spiritual giants. You see what he says? Whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Little ones here means small. In the Greek, it's micros, where we get micro. And he's saying, even these micro disciples, those that have just enough faith to be recognized as they go about the mission of King Jesus, those are blessed to be a blessing. And anybody that sees them in their need and is willing to offer them a cup of water, they will gain that reward. They are little and they are needy, but they are his. You know who he's talking about as a micro disciple in this context? He's talking about the 12. Anthony walked us through these guys several weeks ago. Peter and Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas. We all know about them, right? These are giants, right? They wrote books of the Bible. They expanded the gospel in the first century there. They were so powerful. But in this moment, they are nobodies. They had no pedigree. They're not eloquent. They're unproven. He's saying the person that gives them a cup of water, the one that's willing to serve them and receive what they are saying, the way they're saying it, they will receive a reward. And he's saying to you today, if you've only been a believer a few days or a few weeks or a few months, if you're 7, 8, or 9 years old, Jesus can use you to bring others to their eternal reward. Jesus can and will use anyone to bless others with eternal life. There's a place for every believer in the mission of King Jesus to seek and save the lost. Too many people say, I don't know enough. I don't have all the answers. I don't have big enough faith to be a part of this mission. That's just not true. When you go out with the very basics of the gospel, what you know about Jesus, he will use it. And those of us that have been on mission with Jesus for years, we shouldn't look down on micro disciples, because God can use them just as much, if not more, than us. We've created this culture of celebrity in Christianity where the names and lights seem to be the biggest things, and everybody wants to be the next Billy Graham and save millions or hundreds of thousands, but that's not what he's calling us to. See, even the smallest can be of great use. The flashy names and lights in Christianity aren't any more useful to Jesus than the unknown, struggling micro disciple that's willing to share the gospel, because they both have the same goal, to get people to Jesus. And he'll use a million micro disciples to do far more than that one name and lights ever will. And it's so wrong that we've created this culture of celebrity, because we see them falling left and right. They get their names up there, and then they fall to sin, and great is the fall. And what does it do? It tarnishes the reputation of the church. He can use you if you're willing. Just go do it. You're blessed to be a blessing. And there's beauty in His plan here. See, you're blessed by somebody with the gospel, and you share that blessing with someone else, and then they share it with someone else, and on and on and on. And we're all in this together. This is a community mission from one to another until all have heard. We bear up one another in our burdens. We encourage one another. We train and sharpen one another so that we all get better at doing this, but always encouraging and always including others in this mission to seek and save the lost. This is a hard mission. There will be pain and suffering and division as we walk through it, but there is also beauty and love and compassion. Some folks will hate you for it, but others will love you for it. You don't know who when you go out, but you will always know who's with you as you do. King Jesus, He'll hold you up against the hatred, and He will bless those that love you. We continue Jesus, the suffering servant's mission as a light to the nations. You know who understood this? His apostles, these men that were nobodies that He was talking to. Paul, a murderer. One that was one of the ones that drug Christians into the synagogues and in front of the courts to be punished. He understood what this meant. And God used him. You understand that. If we had a murderer in our midst, most of us would not choose that person to be the one to go share the gospel, right? But God did. He can use anybody. So don't worry about where you are right now. If you're a murderer, see me afterwards. But these men trusted it. They're in Acts 13, they're preaching in Antioch. They're preaching the good news. Verse 44, it says, "The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, 'It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'" This is a continuation of the suffering servant from Isaiah 49. You are going forward. Paul and Barnabas was a part of it, and you're a part of it today. And here's what happened. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And that can happen today if you are willing to go and do this, and not just within the walls of this church, but everywhere that you go. God wants to use you this way. He wants you to be a part of His divine blessings. All you have to do is be willing and obedient when the Spirit prompts you to go. You don't have to have every answer. You don't have to get it perfect. You have been blessed to know Jesus. And all you got to do is bless others with what you know. Share the gospel. That's my challenge to you this week. Find one person each day to be a blessing to in some way. Share the gospel with them. Meet a need in their life. Give them a bottle of water. Be a listening ear. Bless them and pray that they will receive the ultimate blessing. Two people die every second. Every one of them needs this truth. They need the opportunity to respond. And we are God's plan for them to hear. So the question is, you have been blessed. Will you be a blessing? Let us pray. Holy and gracious Father, I am so thankful for those that are willing to respond to this, that are willing to obey what You have commanded here, to go forth with the gospel, to be Your witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I've been blessed by that truth, as others did it in my life, and I pray that each one that gathers here, their heart would be burdened in this moment to do this with others. That we would grow tired of playing church and go be the church. That we would get tired of having people, wanting people to look at us in our holiness and say, I don't want anybody to look at me. I want them to look at Jesus. I want them to see Him in everything that I do. I pray, God, for the one that might be here today that has been far from You, that in this moment Your Spirit has moved them, that they have heard of their sinfulness. They are convicted of their sin. But they are also convinced of Your great love through Jesus Christ. That in this moment they are crying out in repentance for Jesus to save them, to deliver them from their sins and into His marvelous light, that they might burn brightly for the rest of their lives. God, help us to do this for Your glory and the good of others. It's in Jesus' name I pray.